What we're talking about is preparing ourselves for the coming year. Now, I believe the Lord has spoken. Not only has He speak to my heart, but investigation that we've been doing into other ministries, God is speaking this next year to be a real year of change. And I'm looking for a change. Aren't you wanting a change? Don't you want things to get easier? I want to concentrate on some of the things that God wants us to do. I'm tired of God always having to concentrate on just getting me out of a mess. And so I feel like the Lord wants to make this next year a real year of change. Well, to do that, you know, the Lord constantly in His Word, He calls people back to remembrance. And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking at here, I'm taking two or three Sunday nights, and we're looking back at what God has already spoken to our hearts of things that needed to be set in order this year to prepare for next year. And if I will take steps in its given appointed time, if I will try to take that step and then make this step, is much easier than just trying to make a giant leap. You understand? So the Lord is a wonderful shepherd, marvelous shepherd, bringing us into green pastures in every part of our life. Now, our life should be filling more with the light of God. I mean, it should be, our life should be coming alive more and more. That doesn't say that sometimes you take two steps forward and one step back. But the major thing is that as we following the Lord as our shepherd, God will constantly be leading us forward. We can trust Him. How many of you know you can trust Him? You can trust the Lord to have your heart and your life in His view at all times. That He's watching us. He's helping us. And God's got this great, great, great place that He's trying to get all of our lives to move into. And so I believe God even builds that as far as years. I feel like that He does that. He brings things to pass and gives us time segments for us to get certain things changed that would be hindering us, or certain things planted that's not planted, or certain things done or preliminary work done that needs to be done before He can build what else He wants to build into our life. So it's a step by step. It's a process. Man, life through God is a process of every day God bringing us into a more wonderful, greater expression of Himself through our life, in our life, and for our lives. So as we walk through this, we've already covered about 8 or 9 of them, of things that were brought to us as the first of this year. And the way I just kind of did, I listen to the prophets that God sends us. And then I try to take their words. Elaine and I both do this. Elaine's much better at it than I am. In fact, she's much better at a lot of things than I am. But now she's sitting here tonight. Now, when she's not here, I'm going to tell you something different, okay? But she's much better than I am about expressing these things. But I listen, and then I try to review them, and then try to pull them together at what God may be trying to say overall. Because I tell you, Mary Forsythe hits us usually on the Wednesday night of the new year, and she's strongly telling us about the Word of God. And then right behind her then usually comes Brother Leonard Ford, and then Brother Sandy, and then Brother Bill, and then Brother Chris. And so we constantly have these wonderful words that's coming into us. But they're for us, and for us to take advantage. So we just want to make sure that we get things covered this year that needs to be covered. Amen. Lane's telling me today, she wants to make sure that dryer does all that dryer is supposed to do before she buys a new one. So God wants to get everything covered in this year that needs to be done so we can move to a greater expression of God next year. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, the first thing that we're looking at is to be a year of strong days, our protection. Now, it was expressed to us through different ministries. Now, and that's just my interpretation of it. My interpretation is God building strong gates, protection. Now, that was expressed to us through Mary Forsythe declaring to us that this was to be a real year of standing in that word, declaring that word out our mouth, believing God. It was declared to us by Sister Sandy by prayer was to be that place. That through prayer that God would be able to bring us into a real place of protective care. Now, it was brought to us by Bill by our pursuing the secret place, the inner chambers with God. That if we would pursue that secret place, the inner chambers of God, then we could rest assured not only, but that's one of the many aspects that he was bringing, a special place of protection. Now, Brother Leonard Ford, when he finally closed out the year, was telling us that God was visiting us and that God was checking us, but through authority, submission and authority, that God was going to want to bring some wonderful, powerful covering in over our life, protection, everybody say protection, of covering as we operate under God's authority. And then so, and Chris gave us a powerful word of God's keeping power. So I was just understanding through all the processes that God was being, that God was telling us that he wanted to fortify us. That God wanted to build something strong and powerful. So each of those arenas that God brought to us last year, we need to make sure at least we're endeavoring to get those into our life. That we're endeavoring to move into the realm spiritually, as Brother Chris so endeavored with us. We're to move into that we're really endeavoring and trusting God's protective care. See, our obedience to God's word in our life tells us our trust. That's why you can't separate obedience from trust. Because as I obey God, that tells me I'm trusting him. I'm trusting God to follow, as I follow his direction, that the Lord will do. Now, Psalms 147, 11 says, "No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, and those who put their hope," and that was Brother Leonard's last word to us here, there, at the beginning of last year, "who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love." Well, I'm just here tonight to declare to the Lord, I'm putting my hope in God's unfailing love. How many of you are trusting God's love, that his love will not fail you? Amen. And it brings out such a spirit of reverence and fear of the Lord. Now, we're not afraid of God, but we respect God's word. And that's what reverence and fear. And I've tried to wrestle with the fear of God for a long time. I try to say a fear of hurting God. Well, that is, in essence, a part of it. But it's also because I respect God. Man, I know that what is of faith and what's not of faith is sin. I realize that God puts all these principles there to protect me and care for me and guard me. And if I refuse to walk in obedience to God, then there are consequences that I will pay. And for a person not to believe there's consequences for disobedience is error, isn't it, Jimmy? That's just complete error in a person's life. For me to believe that God, that's why the Lord, that's why he put banks on each side of rivers, so to keep them in a proper alignment. Everything about God's that way. Everything he created, even the cells in your body, everything is created. Man, with no lines in our life, everything flies apart. So God does this. And the fear of God, or the respect of God's word. If I believe God's word, and I can show forth my faith in God's word by acting in obedience on God's word, then things are going to go well. If I disobey God's word, that tells me I don't have faith in God, I don't have faith in his word, then things are not going to go well for me in my life. But I want to call those attention, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Man, God won't fail you. God won't fail you. Amen. And then next verse says, "For he has strengthened the bars of your gates." The reason I can trust his love, because God is making my gates strong against the enemy. Everybody say against the enemy. And he's blessed our children within our walls. Now, as God works and makes our gates strong. And I tell you what, for the Lord to call us into doing things in him and through him. The strengthening of our gates and the building of our walls, that has to be done. Now, God does it. Everybody say, God does it. Because God's authority is what stands against the enemy. But we do have a part to play, and especially when it comes to developing strong gates or the bars of our gates. The Bible says that our gates are called what? Praise. Somebody say it out loud.
Praise.
Praise. Our gates are praise. Our part in establishing strong gates against the enemy is the part of faith in God and His power to protect us and His power to guard us, which is expressed through obedience, through praise. I mean, a lot of times people have no idea what praise is. They think praise is singing a hymn or singing a song. Well, you can sing all the right words and have nothing in your heart and you haven't praised. Praise is when your heart is trying to find expression of thankfulness and faith in God and in His Word. So I just want to really encourage you to let this be a year to where praise in your own personal life and in my life increases. To where that I do my part in strengthening my gates, making my gates strong against the enemy. Everybody say, God wants to make my gates where the enemy can't penetrate them. And He wants to make my walls where the devil can't scale them. Where they're unscalable by the enemy. Now that was the whole reason of gates and walls in biblical times. Was protection from the enemy. And so I just want to really encourage you, you do your part. And your part comes in the area of praise or confidence in God. A person says, I have faith, but I'm not much of a praiser. Well, you don't have faith. Because praise is an outpouring of your confidence. If you have confidence in God, there's a praise on your lips. If there is a confidence in God in your heart, you need to quit deceiving yourself by thinking that you have strong confidence in God and I am not being a praiser. It can't be that way. The highest form of prayer you ever pray is praise. The highest form of communication you ever have with God is praise. In fact, maturity brings you to a place where 90% of your communion with God is through praise. A believer must become comfortable as a praiser. And you need to get over the crowds. You need to be comfortable. You need to come to a place where you're comfortable with praise in your private and personal life. You need to be comfortable with praise with your family. I mean, they know you're crazy anyway. Just might as well go ahead and let them all know it. You need to work yourself until there's great comfort in your family as being a praiser. And then in the church. And really, this is the place that we are to express or bring our vows of praise to God. Now, vows are not only monetary. Vows are also my praise, giving glory to God for what God has done for me. When we walk into any given church service, it should be evident who God has greatly been moving on their behalf that week. It should be evident. Because David said, I'll come to your house. I will pay my vows. And that's my vow to Him. I'll say, Lord, will You do this for me? He says, will You praise me? The part that God gets out of any of our miracles are our praise. That's His part. He doesn't need anything else I have. What God needs is my praise. And the more vocal and sometimes the more vibrant, although God certainly hears praise, it's not vibrant. But the more vocal and many times the more vibrant my praise is, the more glory of God that receives. What that means is this. I can keep my miracles to myself and only I am blessed. Or I can let everybody else know what God has done for me and then everyone can be blessed. So it's of vital importance that I become comfortable as a praiser. Because that's going to be at least 90% of my communion with God. It's going to, as I mature in the Lord, It will come to a place where praise will even begin to take the place of requesting. Amen. That you will find as you begin to move out and stand on God's word more, that for us having to stop and ask God, how many of you already right now, instead of stopping asking God many times to heal you, you just begin right away at the first cough, begin to thank God that you're healed. Amen. Because that's maturity. Maturity in the Lord brings us there. Our confidence in God, it brings out this powerful praise. Now, every praise is to start at have a starting point. Now, God wants the praise to start at the point of my conscious decision. God wants to know that I'm thankful. And he wants to know that he's thankful, that my thankfulness is stronger than any feeling of tiredness I would have, or any feeling of weariness, or any feeling of being down, or any feeling of discouragement. God wants us to know. We overcome by the word of our what? Testimony. So God wants to know that. That his praise, and you know what? Some people are just so prone. God works a miracle. And before they can get a praise out for that miracle, they're already discouraged about something else that needs to happen. I mean, how many of you? I mean, I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that, of being a place where I should be praising God and being thankful to the Lord, to where that I would notice myself, I haven't even stopped to be thankful because I'm already going for the next miracle. And God doesn't like that. The reason I know he doesn't, because that's why he created the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath to be a time of reflection. That's what it means. A time that I would reflect on God's goodness. Amen. And if I will, and at least 24 hours out of 7 days, God said, make that my reflection. Now that's why the Pharisees and them got into so much that you couldn't pick up anything over the weight of a few figs. And they got into all that, but they missed the heart of it. Amen. The God says, for your life to believe me for more, you got to first be thankful for where I've already brought you. Amen. So it's a heart of reflection. And that's what the Sabbath was established all about. And even God himself. Now, God rested on the seventh day, but he didn't rest from tiredness, Jimmy. But God himself always reflected. Even though he was the creator, wasn't he, Faye? Even though he was the creator, he would stop and he would look back and says, this is good. This is good. This is good. And God wants us as a believer for our lives to be committed to him and the expression of our faith to be so strong that we stop what we're doing. We stop going for that next miracle, or we stop going to that next meal, or we stop going to that next. And we stop ourselves and say, God, you've just been so good to me. And I'm just so thankful for what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Now, the Lord starts praise with a specific type of praise. That's why we enter into his courts with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving part. And so we enter in. The first level of praise is that area of thanksgiving. Or that's what I've mentioned to you before. That's the Hebrew word, todah. Now, what that means is, you remember this morning, one of the major growths that God, as I begin to focus, that I'm not going to be a flesh man. I'm not going to be a flesh man. I'm not going to be one that's controlled by my feelings. You understand? We determine that. We determine that inside. We're not going to be a person that's controlled by our feelings. We're going to be a person that's controlled by God and not controlled by our feelings. Amen. We're not going to be a rational man. We're not going to be a person that's controlled by their thinking or their rational thinking. We're going to be a person that if God says step out of that boat and step onto that water, we'll say, God, I'm fixing to step out of this boat. I'm fixing to get on that water. That we're not going to be controlled by our rational thinking. We're going to be a people that's controlled by God. Amen. There we're not going to be a person that's controlled by what I can do. We're going to live a dependent life. We're going to be a people that is constantly dependent on God. And God constantly puts us into situations where if God doesn't come through, we sink. But God doesn't let us sink, because God's going to pull us out and bring us through every time for the glory of God. Amen. So the Lord starts us in this level of praise called Todah, thanksgiving, being thankful, reflection. But it's also a special part of this Todah praise. It has no feeling associated with it. If you have to come into church and feel praise to praise, you're really not praising. You're still a flesh-controlled person and controlled by your flesh. Todah praise has no place for feeling. It's the declaration of God's goodness. And that's why God said you enter into His courts. You enter into the very first base with God by coming in and being so thankful, because He's been so good to you, nobody can shut you up. You're going to be thankful to your God for what God has done for you. So you can't be intimidated, because it's not flesh oriented. It doesn't sound reasonable, but you're not going to be rationally controlled either. You're going to be spiritually controlled, man. And so you come in, and the first level of your praise is, God, I am thankful for everything that you have done for me. And I want everybody here to know that I am not to be pitied, but I am to be looked at and admired, because I've been one that's been blessed by God and been helped by God. Amen. So that's the first level of praise. Now, what we're talking about is making our gaze strong against the enemy. What I can do, my part, in making my gate strong against the enemy. Now, if I will begin it with Todah praise, if I will begin to declare, that's why the first part of your praise service should not be any feeling oriented. It should be, the first part of your praise service should be, you surrender your heart to God. God, you've done to me. There's nothing I can do but praise you. There is no excuse for me not praising you. And so you begin right there. And it starts by declaration. That's why I said to you earlier that praise will begin to eventually take the place of what we call prayer. But not so, because prayer with God is more than requesting. Prayer with God is communion with God. Amen. So the more mature you come, the more your prayer will become into that praise. And declaration will mean so much to you. When you come into the house of God, the first thing you'll begin to do is begin to declare God's goodness. I'm going to tell you what, that word is loaded in God's goodness. It is loaded in God's goodness. It is loaded. And you begin to declare out your mouth the goodness of God that you have faith and confidence in that is working in your life. Do you understand what I'm telling you? What we're talking about is making our gate strong against the enemy. Us becoming where the enemy can no longer just come in and steal and rob from us at his will. And it comes in through my part of that is my faith and my confidence, and many times is to be expressed in praise. So the first thing I would begin to do, I would begin to declare. That's why in the Lord's Prayer it said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." The first thing of the Lord's Prayer is declaring the power of his name. Amen. Hallowing his mighty name. Amen. God is my protection. Amen. You don't have to beg. You don't have to beg for the blessings of the Lord when you're declaring he's the blesser. You don't have to beg for provision when you're declaring that he's your provider. You don't have to beg for your healing when you're declaring in praise and faith that he's your healer. You don't have to beg for your deliverance when you're declaring with your faith and with your praise that God's your deliverer. And I'm going to tell you something that torments the devil is for the devil to have you in bondage. And all the while you're in bondage, you're there declaring that God's your deliverer. Do you hear me? You want to torment the enemy? All the while that you're sick, you're declaring that God is your healer. Amen? All the time that you're tormented in your mind, you're declaring that God is your peace. We have a part to play in making our gates strong against the enemy. We have a part to play to become a safe place in God. So my part, many times, is for me to have strong confidence and strong faith expressed in my praise to God. So I can begin to say, Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, praised be your name. Lord, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You're my helper. You're my strengthener. You're my standby. You're my, I'm about to get myself happy, y'all. Praise God. You're my rescuer. You're the one that stands to guard me when there's no other guard in my life. You're the one that's not allowing the enemy to tread upon me. Amen? Amen? And then all of a sudden, your gates become strong. And so it's the will of the Lord for God to make strong bars. Everybody say strong bars. Strong bars for our gates. Now, I was raised in a well, we better not talk about that. Psalms 147. He sends peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger. That's the next part of that verse is there when he says he makes your gates strong. He makes peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger with the finest of wheat. He sends his orders to the world, and how swiftly his word flies. Amen. Then the promise is, violence shall no more be heard in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. Now, what we're talking about is making your gate strong against the enemy. And the way our part, many times, making our gate strong is us having powerful faith expressed through our praise. If I'm sharing this before the Lord, what I would say is, Lord, I thank you. There's violence is no more heard in my land. I thank you, Lord, that devastation or destruction are no more within my borders, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, I'm calling my wall salvation. I'm calling my gates praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say, my walls is Yeshua. That's that word salvation, Yeshua, Jesus. In the Hebrew, it's Yeshua. That means that Jesus is building my walls. Every time I believe a scripture, and every time I believe a scripture, we can say, Lane teaches that you put that scripture in your arsenal. To me, I'm taking that scripture, I'm taking that block and that stone, I'm building my walls higher. Every time I believe a scripture that God has given to me, what I'm building my wall taller and taller and higher and higher. Now, the enemy may can scale 10 feet, he may can scale 15 feet, but I just believe Jesus can build a higher wall than the devil can scale. Don't you? Amen. So that's why it's real important that I take these scriptures, express my faith in them. Now, just because they're written on that page, it certainly doesn't make them happen. But when those scriptures come in my heart, the voice of God begins to take a hold to that. That rhema voice begins to release faith in my life. And then when faith is released in my life, I'm looking for a way to express it. And I can express it through praise. I can express it through declaration. But God's looking for me to some way to get it out here. Amen? So there's just powerful promises about that. Amen? All right, I love this one. It said, you will not need to fight in this battle. How many of you are tired of fighting in the battles? You're ready for let the Lord do your fighting for you. It said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Well, what position am I looking for? Well, we can find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the position that they was calling for was the position of putting praise first. The proper position is to put praise to send Judah, which is Yada, praise, which is the second form of Todah. You go to Todah, then to Yada. The second form of praise is to move into that place, and that's the one that you send into war with. Amen. You can defeat any enemy with Yada, praise, because that Yada is the word Judah. And it's a warfare form of praise. Now what happens is you start off in this first praise when you have no feeling involved, and you begin to declare, Lord, you're my healer, you're my deliverer, you're my helper, you're my strengthener, You're my standby. You're the one I can depend on. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit begins to function in your unction. Or should I say unction in your function, I guess. And the Holy Spirit begins to take a hold of that. When the Holy Spirit begins to take a hold, where it starts with no feeling, all of a sudden you begin to sense things in your spirit. You don't wait to sense things before you start praising. It starts with no feeling. But then God is just like I was with a guy. Janet's not here tonight, I was going to tell. I was with Mac Bland this week, Charles. And I walked in there at Mac. Mac and I used to, we're really distant relatives, but we was real friends as kids. And I went for probably 40 years, I didn't see him. And we was friends. I forgot that we was friends as teenagers. It's amazing what you can forget. I just remember us friends being kids. And so I got word that Mac had been watching the television program. And he'd like to talk to me that he'd just been diagnosed with 4-stage cancer. So I went to see Mac this week. Had one of the most glorious times, man. Had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful season. Wonderful, wonderful season for them. But when I walked in there, he said, I was talking about hitting the accelerator. That's what I'm talking about, moving up in your praise. Letting it go from toda to yada. Ooh, when you get to yada, you've got something that'll defeat every devil that rises against you. I walked in there. You know one of the first things that Max said? Max said, Jerry Abel said, I was just telling some. I'll tell you, he said, you know how Max talks anyway. I can't mimic him, but I can hear him. But he said, man, I'm telling everybody. He said, I remember that time you and I was in that car. We went from Thornton to Hampton in 7 minutes. And I said, I finally told you if you'd slow down to 100, I'd get out. I said, Mac, I did a whole lot of things that I'm ashamed of now. But then it moved spiritual. Man, I loved my time there with him. A person that one time that you ran with that wasn't in God, to be able to kneel down with them and to pray and intercede, believe God for miracles of God in your life. One of the grandest things in the world. Had a grand place there. But that's what, where I was going to that is, you have to put your foot on the accelerator of your praise. You have to do that. You have to start off in a place where there is no feeling, to a place that is filled with feeling. It's not that God is against our feeling. Our feelings have been trained by the world. God has great feelings. Our feelings, the Bible said, haven't our senses so trained? Talked about our feelings, what the Bible said in New Testament. Haven't our senses so trained? We have to retrain our feelings. Some people think that Christians just don't have any feelings. No, we have retrained feelings. I've had untrained dogs and trained dogs. Trained dogs are better. Aren't they, Andy? You've been out my house when I had some untrained dogs. Those things, boy, last night our dogs were yapping all night almost. And but it's better when you got trained. Same way with feelings. When your feelings become trained, what that is, they won't give way to things like discouragement, depression. They won't give way to feelings of sadness and downness and all. But man, they leap when joy enters the room. And they leap when confidence enters the room. And they leap at all of those wonderful expressions that God meant for us to feel, that the devil came in and twisted it and took what was meant to be wonderful feelings. The devil twisted it and corrupted it and made it into feelings that we have to be delivered from, as freedom does. We have to be delivered from those things. Amen. But anyway, you put your foot on that accelerator and you say, look out, God. My praise is fixing to go to another level. Now, Shirley and I was raised in a real fairly dysfunctional family. The difference is she became functional and I'm still in a dysfunctional family. Dysfunction for the devil. But, I was raised in a real violent situation. Shirley and I both were. To literally to keep guard at night would be how many bars we put across the door. It wasn't how many locks you had. We were raised as children and literally in houses that literally had to have bars, several of them, put across the doors. And then we've been there when those bars were broken into. For periods of time, we lived with such violence going on and very dysfunctional. Now, that's the devil's way. God's way says, Jerry, let me put you some real bars across your door. Let me put some bars across your door that will be able to keep the devil out of your life. And one of, I remember, Shirley may have felt it was her job, I always thought it was my job, is to go up to the door, and we had all these things built to literally to put the bars across the doors at night. And literally because of the drunks in our family and things, they were broken into, busted through. Sometimes nights of guns and shooting and all the horrors that go along with that kind of a life. But I'm so thankful God's brought me into a place that'll put a different bar across my life. And it's a bar of praise. And we began to praise God. And we began to move in that Todah praise without any feeling. I said, Lord, I'm going to slide that bar into place. It's a protective bar. And God said, yes, Jerry, that's your praise. And it's going to build a protection for you and for yours. And then I said, let me put the accelerator down a little bit. And you began to press that accelerator. And all of a sudden that Todah moves into the Yada, which is Judah praise, which is warfare praise, which defeats the devil. Now, the first kind of praise stirs up God. But that next kind of praise stirs that devil up. And it stirs him up in the right way. It stirs him up to run from you. Because he knows that if you send Judah first, he knows that if you send Judah first, or if you send Yada first, he's already defeated for the glory of God. Can you say amen? That's why in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat knew that secret, the principle, to send Judah first. So Jehoshaphat said, line up all of those soldiers, line up all of that army, but you send first into battle. You send those praisers. And I love what the Bible says. That when, talking about the very moment, that when they begin to lift up their voices and praise, at that very moment, and that was the word Yada, or the word Judah praise, warfare praise, that at that very moment, the enemy was totally defeated without one sword, one shot being fired. God took them out of the way. And the promise to us is that we won't have to fight, that God will fight for us. If we would do our part in making our gates strong,